Do you remember that hour you first believed? I do. Oh, I couldn't sleep at night. I had hundreds and hundreds of questions I needed to ask. Somebody needed to tell me. Tell me about this Jesus that saves my soul. I needed to know more. Oh, that hour we first believed. How amazing that grace is. Well, I'm glad to see everybody here today. What a great joy it is to know that we come together, unified, to praise God and worship God this morning. As you know, we have made our way through Deuteronomy, and we are now in chapter 4. We are part of the way through Moses' first sermon, and we have learned that in the book of Deuteronomy that Moses gave three different sermons in this book. And these three sermons are designed to remind the nation of the past and to prepare them for the future and to prepare them for future problems and to prepare them not to repeat the past. And God has shown them throughout the book, trust in me, do not fear, for I will fight for you. So let's dig in, and if you will, turn with me to chapter 4, verse 1. And now remember that Moses is talking to the generation of people that is about to enter the promised land. Okay, they've already wandered through the desert. The disobedient fathers and all the whole gang has died off in the desert. So these are the people that are about to enter. And as we read this, I want you to keep in your mind that through Moses, remember it's not about Moses, but through Moses, God is telling the people of Israel that he wants total obedience. God is a very demanding God, but he deserves total obedience. So if you will read with me, chapter 4, verse 1. Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I teach you to observe, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers is giving you. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did at Baal Peor. For the Lord your God has destroyed from among you all the men who followed Baal of Peor. But you who held fast to the Lord your God are alive today, every one of you. Surely I have taught you statutes and judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should act accordingly to them in the land which you go to possess. Therefore, be careful to observe them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the people who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us, for whatever reason we may call upon him? All right, so let's back up to verse 1. And as we do that, keep in mind, God is demanding complete obedience. So, verse 1 says, now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I teach you to observe, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers is giving you. Now, we've had a little bit of history lessons in chapter 1 through 3, and we start off here in chapter 4 with the words, now. He starts, or hearken, or therefore. So God is saying, okay, now you know all this. Now you know what happens, and you have seen that you can trust in me, and you should not fear. When we get to this point, he said, therefore, listen. He says, God is telling the nation of Israel, you know what happened to your fathers. You know about their disobedience. Therefore, do not make the same mistakes they did. And the best way for you not to follow in their footsteps is to follow me. That's the easiest way not to make the same mistakes they did. Follow God. So we can see here in verse 1 that one reason that God gave the Israelites the statutes and judgments was so that they would have a full life as they obeyed God. If they disobeyed, then their lives would be cut short. You must be obedient. You must listen and observe the statutes and judgments I have put before you that you may live. You think that's important to God? I think so. If God says be obedient or die, then I would take it that God is pretty serious about being obedient. Be obedient or die. Let me throw this in here just in case someone out there is wondering. The God of the Old Testament is the same God of the New Testament. He is as serious about sin today as he was back then. And if God did not hate sin, then he would not be a holy God. He has to hate sin. As a matter of fact, God hates sin so much that he poured out his wrath on his only son. His only son. That's how much God hates sin. He put his wrath on his son to pay our price, our wages, what we deserve. So if you think that God looks away and does not take sin seriously, then you need to rethink that right now and ask God for forgiveness this very moment, today. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. All right, I feel better now. I got that off my chest. We'll go ahead. All right. Still with me? Okay. All right. So, what are the statutes and judgments that Moses has given to the people? Well, it's the law. And so now you're sitting there going, all right, what's the law that I hear you guys talk about all the time? Well, here's the law. Here's the best definition of the law I can give you. Listen to this. The law is the body of specific instructions given to Israel by God through Moses, all right, including the Ten Commandments. But the law also included many additional rulings intended, now listen to this, intended to shape Israel's personal, their civil, their international, and religious way of life. Did you get that? So the Ten Commandments and all the additional writings were rulings intended to shape Israel's personal life, their civil life, their international life, and their religious life. That's the purpose of the law. Okay? So God is saying, this is the way you should live your life. That's what he's telling the people of Israel when he moved it. When you go in here, this is the way you should live your life. This is the right way, and any other way leads to destruction. My way, life, any other way is destruction. So some people say, well, that sounds awful selfish and intolerant for God to say that his way is the only way. We hear that all the time. But what these people are really saying, when they say that, what they're really saying is, I do not want anyone telling me how to live my life or put any boundaries on my life or tell me what is right and wrong. I will make that call. I am my own person, and nobody will tell me what to do. That's what they are really saying in their hearts when they say, that's awful intolerant. But if you think that God telling you how to live your life is harsh and intolerant, then listen to what Jesus says about entering heaven. God's saying my way, but God is saying this is the best way to live your life by my rules. And Jesus says, want to enter heaven? My way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So there's only one way into heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. So if you have a problem with God telling you how to live your life, then you're really going to have a problem with Jesus telling you how you're going to spend eternity. God loves you, wants the best for you. Don't try to buck the system. His way is the only way. So when we look at what the statutes and judgments cover, we can see that God is our life. He is our entire life. He is every part of our lives. We cannot compartmentalize God. We do not have a God of convenience. We cannot say, okay, God, I will follow your commandments in this area of my life, but over here, I got this. I don't need you here. Oh, Jesus, I'll take that free gift of salvation. Yeah, oh, come on in the house. Come on in the living room. But ho, don't come in my TV room. Oh, don't go down the hall down here to my bedroom. No, don't do that. See, God wants to come into your entire home. We cannot just have a God of convenience and I'll follow you here, Lord, but over here, oh, no, my way. We can't do that. See, God is not commanding us to live our lives just this way on Sunday. All right? That's why we have in our mission statement, what? Model Christ with our lives. tell me this. What good does it do the world? What good does it do the world out there for you to come here and obey God on Sunday? I mean, even Pastor Ryan can behave for 3 hours on Sunday. You know what I'm saying? Are you with me? The world needs to see your walk with Christ, not me. It's encouraging, yes. We all need to encourage each other, but it's not me. I know Jesus. I'm there. It's a lost and dying world that needs to know and see Jesus, and we can share Jesus with them by the way we live our lives outside of these walls. Not on Sunday. God is our entire life. We come to church not to show how religious we are, but to praise and worship God. Like Pastor Ryan said earlier, we come to praise the Lord. Praise God with everything we have. That's why we are here today. You hear me preach this all the time. Take it outside these walls. Why? Because if your relationship with Christ is just here on Sunday, then I'm telling you right now that you really need to take a serious look at your heart. If it's just here on Sunday, if you are not opening God's Word any other day of the week, then I may have grounds to question if you know the Jesus that I know. If you know the Jesus I know, you will desire to know everything you can about Him. You will read His Word. You will pray. You will pray when you're walking, when you're driving. You will talk with God all the time. You will want your family to know Him. You will walk with Him daily. You will praise Him with your life. And you know what? Your heart will break for the lost. And when you're out there in this world and you act Christ-like because your heart's broken for the lost co-worker, then you have opportunities to share the love of Christ with them. Jesus will be on your mind all day and every day. And people in this world will see you live your life, and you can tell them that you have a living hope in Jesus Christ our Lord. Go and tell the world. That's what He tells us to do. Go and tell the world. Oh, if the world could see the relationship that Christians have with God the other 6 days of the week, wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't we change the world? This is how we could do it. We have all these people who are protesting about taking prayer out of school and how bad that is for America, but we have a bigger problem. We've taken prayer out of our homes. We have to start right there. If all of us were taking care of our home life and living how God has told us to live, then by the power of God, we can change this world. And that's what He's telling the Israelites. Here is the statutes and the commandments. Live by them. Every day. All day. If we're not living our Christian life out the other 6 days of the week, then we are essentially saying, I'm ashamed of Jesus Christ. I'm ashamed of God the Creator, and I'm ashamed of the gospel message. I'm afraid somebody will make fun of me or laugh at me or belittle me because I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ died for my sins. Oh, I'm proud of the message, and I holler an amen here in church, but when I'm around non-believers, I run from the name of Jesus. And we cannot do that. We cannot blend into the world. We cannot be ashamed. What did Paul tell us in Romans 1:16? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Everywhere Paul went, he proclaimed the gospel of Christ. He had no fear because he was being obedient and doing exactly what God told him to do. So why was Paul not ashamed of the gospel? Because it is for the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. We live our lives that way because there's power in that, and there's power in salvation. Our hearts should be broken over the people that we meet that don't know Christ. There's power in the Word of God and power in the message of salvation for everyone who believes. Remember, I told you earlier that if you know the Jesus I know, then Your heart will break for the loss, and you will desire to share the good news of salvation that Jesus Christ is offering to all who believe. So we should not be ashamed, and we should be screaming with our lives that we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We have salvation through Jesus Christ. And that everyone you meet can have that same joy and peace that you have. And you know what? For that reason, God gave His statutes and judgments to the nation of Israel so the world can see the relationship God has with His chosen people. He wanted the world to see what a personal God He is. Look at verse 5. What does it say? Read with me. Surely I have taught you statutes and judgments. This is Moses speaking to him. I have taught you statutes just as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should act accordingly to them in the land which you go possess. Therefore, be careful to observe them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, in the sight of the peoples who will hear all these statutes. So one part of the relationship is with God, is His people is one of action. One part of the relationship with God is that, and His people is one of action on behalf of the people. We see here that the people are told to act accordingly to them. Okay? He's saying, act, do, apply what I have commanded you. Do not just memorize it and put it in your head. I want you to put it in your heart so you can act upon it. The world cannot see what is in your heart until you put it to action. Okay? What comes out when you're squeezed? Whatever's in that heart, right? So that's what the world is looking to see. So if you just hide it in your heart and never put it into action, then the world can see it. Cannot see it. James 2:18 says, I will show you my faith by my works. Hey, you know what he's saying here? You will know what is in my heart by my actions. So think about this. If you don't put God's word in your heart, if you're not studying His commandments, if you are not just digging in and knowing more about Christ, when you leave your Bible at home and you go out into the world and you get squeezed, when you get challenged, when you get tempted, what are you going to rely on? You got to have God's heart, word in your heart. So God is telling us, telling them, don't just write it on a scroll and lay it on the fireplace. Or better yet, don't take my words and put them in a book and set them down as a coffee table decoration. God's words demand action. We are to study, put it in our hearts so we can act accordingly. Now, not only did God tell them to act accordingly, but He stresses the point of how important this is. Look at verse 6. He says, therefore, be careful to observe them. Now that you know my words, be careful to observe them. That means you need to study the word. You need, if you do not study and know the word, how can you be careful to observe them? You want to handle God's word with care. Don't come just reading with a flippant attitude of, oh, this is just Jesus, this is the Old Testament stuff, doesn't matter. Oh, but it does. It guides how we live our lives. We need to get this right because the peoples, the world, is watching us and just waiting for to say, ha, I got you. They do. When you dig into God's word, not only will you grow richly, but you will gain true wisdom and understanding. True wisdom and understanding. It says, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples who will hear all these statutes. And when we act accordingly to God's word, then what does the world see? Continue with me at verse 6. And they say, surely this nation, this great nation, is wise and understanding people. When we follow God and seek true wisdom from Him and apply that wisdom to our lives, then we make wise choices. And the world's watching. When you look at this, though, a lot of times in this world, don't miss this, don't just think if we all act right and follow God that the whole world's going to go, hey, we're going after them. You see what they did? No, they're very defiant. So listen, when we follow God and make godly decisions in our lives, it will not look right to the world. It will not make sense to the ones who do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Because God's ways are not the ways of the world. But when they see the outcome, when they see the outcome of your decision, when they see the results of following God's instructions, they will have a hard time arguing that the choice you made was wrong. Now, they may choose not to believe the outcome or are blinded to what the truth is, but the truth still stands. What people believe does not change the truth. So we continue to follow God and act upon His commandments and statutes no matter what the world thinks. We continue to live a life that glorifies God no matter how many times you're made fun of. We do what God tells us to do. Why? Because God told us to. So when the world says, no, don't have that baby because that's going to ruin your life, and you follow what God says, and then you hold that baby, you're going to tell me that was wrong? I made a wrong choice when you hold that baby? Or the world will tell you, young men, go sow your wild oats and go live like you want to. Find out who you are and then experience all this and bring that garbage into your marriage. Or do you follow God and stay pure? So you can give one day to your husband or to your wife that gift of purity only you can give to them. They can't argue with the results. They try to argue the front end. Follow God no matter what He says. That's true wisdom. That's true wisdom, not falling short. This wisdom does not come from the world. The world will not tell you to stay pure. The world will not tell you to keep that baby. This wisdom only comes from God. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. Here's my paraphrase. Here's what it says. Because you lack wisdom, because you lack true wisdom, ask of God and He will give it to you, no questions asked. Ask for that wisdom in your decisions. And if it doesn't sound right to the world, you're probably right on. And God will give you that wisdom, no matter what it is. He will give it to you freely and without reproach. No questions asked. He does not want us wandering around in this world not knowing where we're going or what we believe or what we stand on. That's why He gives us His word on paper. God is there to help us. And He only wants the best for us. And you know what makes it even better? We have no fear, like Pastor Ryan said earlier. We have no fear when we do what God tells us to do. Why? Because He is with us and will help us get through the whole thing. Look back at your life. How many times you have stressed over a situation and you're stressing and stressing and you're here today. You made it. You got through that big problem, that big valley that you went through, and I hope you was praying the whole time when you were down there in that valley. I hope you were on your knees because God's calling you to Him. When you get down there, God, help me. He says, I'm here. I'm here. Verse 7. What does it say? Now, this is what the world's saying to about Israel. For what great nation is there that has God so near to it? As the Lord our God is to us, for whatever reason we may call upon Him. God wants to have such a relationship with us that He says all we have to do is call upon Him. God is so near to us that in a split second we could talk to God Almighty just like that. Is that not amazing? God is so near that in a split second you could call on Jesus Christ and be pulled out of eternal damnation and sealed by the Holy Spirit and spend eternity in heaven with our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how close our God is to us. The one true living God wants a relationship with His people. And we see here in the text that the peoples, the world is asking about a God being so close to His people. Why are they asking that? Well, because all their gods or all the man-made gods are untouchable by man and are far away. If you do a research on all the gods that they created, they're mad with humans, they're mad with people, and they're far away. And these people are spending all their lives doing everything they can to find favor in these gods. And then we see the God of Israel says, I love my children and I will take care of them. They're going, what is this God? Who is this? That all they have to do is call upon them for any reason? Praise the Lord, we have a God like that. Oh, I couldn't imagine going through life trying to find favor in a God that's so far away that can never please. Yeah, we have a God to say, yes, I believe, Jesus, that you died for my sin. That you were buried and you rose on the third day according to the Scriptures. Oh, I believe. And in a split second, we could be praising Him at the throne of God. How amazing that is to me. I can't comprehend that. That when I pray to God, I'm talking right to the Creator. The guy, the man who sustains my breath. You know, when I breathe, God put that in me. That's how personal our God is. So when they see a great nation that is so near to God that they could call on Him for any reason, just the fact that they can communicate with God raises questions to the world. You want to know more? You want to know God's phone number? You ready? Jeremiah 33:3. What does it say? Call to me and I will answer you, which you do not know. Just call to me. Do you hear that call to me and I will answer that which you do not know? Is that not comforting to know that all we have to do is call to God? We do not have to live this life alone. We have a personal God who desires a personal relationship. So today as we looked at the Israelites, we could see that God was setting them apart from the rest of the world. He called for obedience. Just like He calls for us to be obedient. Jesus said, be holy for I am holy. Do I need to say more on that? He called the Israelites to be a beacon to the world. And we are to be a light unto the world. But the greatest thing today that we get from our text is God is not asking us to do it on our own. He is not asking us to do this with our own power. He has told us that He will never leave us or forsake us. Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me. And I will answer you, which you do not know. Pastor Ryan?